so good to see all of your faces. See, just one day.
Just one day in your presence is better than a thousand elsewhere. Just one glimpse of your glory, and nothing in this world can compare.
Majesty in a us, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
In the name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, O God, that we come before you in prayer, Lord, with humble hearts, grateful hearts, that we can sing praises to your name, celebrate who you are in our lives. God, we thank you for your gospel, the good news that Jesus came to earth. He lived a perfect life, died a sinless death on our behalf, that he was raised to life, his promised return. Lord, it gives us hope, and we look to you today. Lord, we declare our trust in you today. And so I just pray, Father, for our time together as we worship you. Thank you for the privilege of uniting our hearts together under your lordship. And I pray, Lord, that we would leave here encouraged, challenged in our faith, wanting to grow in our relationship with you. And so, Spirit of God, we welcome you to do what only you can do. And it's in the name that is above every name that we pray, the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Go ahead and be seated. And as you're taking a seat, on behalf of our pastor, Dr. Jack Graham, and the entire team here at Prestonwood, we welcome you to services. For those that are joining us online, wherever you may be watching from, thank you so much for tuning in and worshiping with us. And as you can see, Christmas is here at Prestonwood. Doesn't this place look beautiful? No place does it like Prestonwood around Christmas. And we're just really glad that you are here. When you walked in, you noticed at the doors we have our Prestonwood Today's back, all right? We want to keep you in the loop on everything going on in the life and ministry of Prestonwood. If you didn't pick yours up, you could pick one on the way up, on the way out, or you can just text the name GUIDE, G-U-I-D-E, to 74788. That's GUIDE to 74788, and you can get a downloaded copy there. There's a guest registration form in here we would love for you to fill out, and you can drop it by Guest Central on your way out. We got a gift that we want to put in your hand just to say thank you for being here. And again, if you'll just text GUIDE to 74788, you can fill yours out online. We want to know who you are. We want to know how we can be praying for you. And more than anything, just say thank you for choosing to worship with us this weekend. Well, we are headed toward Christmas, and Christmas at Prestonwood is always a busy time, but it is a great time. And I want to make you aware of two events that are coming up this week. One is tonight. This is our special Advent service. We've never done this before. We're beginning a new tradition, and it begins at 5 o'clock tonight, right here in this room. You can, of course, join us online, but we want you here. If you're at all available to come, we're going to sing some great Christmas carols. We're going to have the hanging of the greens. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together. It's going to be a great service as we kick off the Advent season. That's right here, 5 o'clock, our Plano campus. We would love to see you here. And then on Wednesday night, we have our great Christmas tree lighting festival, and you are not going to want to miss this event. This is a community-wide outreach for us. It's going to be a special time as we light up that big Christmas tree right outside in the front. If you came in those doors, you saw it. You can't miss it. And it's going to be a great time. We're going to have games for the kids. We're going to have food trucks, hot chocolate available. There's going to be singing going on. I hear that Mr. and Ms. Claus are going to make an appearance. It's going to be a great, great evening. And we're going to be outside, so there'll be plenty of room to social distance. And I'm telling you, we're putting this out on our social media. We're hearing so much positive response. People just looking forward to being on our campus and coming to this event. So you're going to want to get here early. That's 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock on this Wednesday evening. It is going to be great. Well, as we turn our time in the service here to a time of giving, as you know, if you've been around Prestonwood for any amount of time, the Sunday, the weekend after Thanksgiving, we always launch our World Missions Offering Emphasis. And there's a number of ways that you can give here at Prestonwood. And I want to thank you, church, for your generosity in giving. Many of you are giving online. You can give in the offering boxes that are at all of the exits or at our giving kiosk. But today, through the end of the year, we highlight our World Missions Offering. And you can designate that giving to the World Missions Offering. 100% of that offering goes to support our church plants that are literally all over North America. We partner with nearly 50 church plants in North America that are reaching great cities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It goes to support our partner ministries all over the world, missions agencies that we work alongside. And so if you want to give to the World Missions Offering, we'd love for you to do that. We put together a little video for you to watch just to kind of tell you about the heart of what we're doing, why we're doing it. It's because when we give, our resources are going not to make a difference, to help meet needs, but most of all, to get the good news of Jesus Christ to as many people as possible. And so thank you, Prestonwood, for how you give. Watch the screens, and then we'll continue in worship.
As the church, We have hope. Hope for the hurting. Hope for our future. Hope in the darkest of times. Now more than ever, a hurting world needs the church to bring that hope in real, tangible ways. The world needs the hope of Jesus. Every year, the Prestonwood World Missions offering is one of the most impactful ways we can serve those in desperate need. From our local community, to our country, and to the continents of the world, your generosity is making a difference, one life at a time. Mike Beeson, our Minister of Missions, has witnessed the global need up close. Recently, a Prestonwood friend reached out for help while he was mobilizing relief workers in a desperate part of the world. Responding to that call, Mike, along with four more Prestonwood men, made their way to the Middle East. Reeling from the effects of COVID-19, the country they visited had suffered yet another disaster that left hundreds dead, thousands injured, and countless homeless. The men arrived to find not only physical devastation, but a desperation, an emotional and spiritual emptiness devoid of hope or joy. They worked tirelessly to share the gospel with as many people as possible. Journeying to this ministry site was a logistical challenge made even more difficult by the pandemic. Yet they knew this is where they needed to go, for this is where the heart of God is, with the hurting, with the broken. Church family, the time is now, and the need is great. Prestonwood Missions is taking the gospel to parts of the world where Islam is either the fastest growing religion or the primary religion. Places like East Africa, East Asia, Europe, Russia, North Africa, and the Middle East, where billions of people have yet to hear the gospel. In Latin America and the Caribbean, many beliefs are still steeped in animism and rituals. In South America, spiritualism is growing in popularity, and in America and Canada, 7 million people have never heard the gospel. We know many hearts have grown cold and hostile towards any religion at all. But you can make a difference by supporting our ministry partners from North Texas to Mid-America and to the farthest reaches of the world. The Apostle Paul's words in the book of Romans still cry out to us today. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? Please consider giving generously to the Prestonwood World Missions offering. Together, we will go until the whole world hears.
Praise him, praise. I love it when we sing like that, when we worship our God with full and overflowing hearts. And thank you for being here. Thank you for the worship, Michael, Neil, and team. I know what new Christmas song is going to the top of my playlist this year, and it's what Michael and the group just sang, His Name. And it was written by Michael, and Michael Neal has written that, and it is fantastic. And then, of course, to close with The Waymaker, which is the title of our series at Christmas this year, Waymaker. It was actually written in 2015 by a Nigerian singer-songwriter, worship leader by the name of Sinach. And it flowed out of her own personal witness and testimony. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are. And over the next several weeks, we're going to be taking these one by one right out of the scripture. Because these words, names describing Jesus, waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, is illustrative of who Jesus is and why he came. Now, we know that names are very important. Most everybody loves the sound of their own name. That's name. That's a personal relations kind of statement. Dale Carnegie said it years ago, everyone loves the sound of their own name. So if you can call a person by name, that's a good thing. If you're building relationship, you don't call somebody, what's your name? You want to know people's name. It's one good thing about church. When we can build community and relationship, it ought to be a place where people know your name, our small groups, our community groups, and all the rest. We work very hard to make sure that people are known and know that they are loved, not only by God, but by the church. So it's very important that we know one another's names. Unless you're like a guy I heard about who hated his name. His name, his last name was Odd, Mr. Odd. And he hated it because people throughout his life said, your name is Odd. That's odd. Or things like, hey, you're really odd, aren't you? And so through the years, he had enough of that. And when he came down near to the end of his life, he left in his will and testament that when he was to be buried, they were to leave the tombstone blank. And not even put that name. He didn't want people passing by his grave and looking at the tombstone and saying, that's odd. And so they did exactly as he said. They buried him, put the tombstone up, nothing. It was blank. And so when people would come by, they would look at it because that was unusual. People would come by and look at it and say, that's odd. So names mean something, especially in the Bible. And the name of Jesus is a wonderful name. We just heard it, the refrain from Isaiah chapter 9. And we're in a Bible study on Wednesdays and Thursdays, our connection service online. Can I just say that we are meeting so many new people online, not only our Prestonwood family, but people everywhere, and we're getting to know you. We're signing you up for community groups and discipleship and taking the next steps of obedience to God and church connection. And so whether you're right here on site or whether you are online, we are the church together, and we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his name is wonderful. But on the midweek service, the connection service, we're on to something with the online services and Bible studies. Because so many are able to attend and to participate online. So we're taking one by one, actually two by two, the names of Jesus in Isaiah chapter 9. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, and the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The name of Jesus. There are many names describing Jesus in the Word of God. And every name of Jesus is a matchless name, a marvelous name. Remember the angel said of him, naming him to Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The very name Jesus means Savior. And yet of all the names of the Lord Jesus, one of perhaps the most startling of all is the self-ascribed name given to us in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. It is the most powerful name of Jesus. And I might add, the most controversial name of Jesus. For Jesus said in verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Now, it's the upper room. As Jesus is nearing the end of his earthly story, he is hours away from the cross, and he's gathered that little band of believers, the disciples who became apostles. And in gathering him, he's teaching them, giving his last will and testament, if you will, recording in John chapter 7:13 all the way through 17 is the upper room discourse. And here in the midst of it, John chapter 14, Jesus declares, "I am," which is the name of God himself, the great I am. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus had lived 33 years approximately on the earth. He was born in Bethlehem and raised in obscurity in the Galilee and burst on the scene around the age of 30 when he was baptized by John, affirmed by the Father, and launched an earthly ministry of 3 years, speaking words like people had never heard before, performing miracles, changing the world. In those brief 3 years from Bethlehem onward to the cross, he rocked the world. And the moment for which he had come, the arrival, is about to end. And the arrival of Jesus, which began at Bethlehem, is coming to an end, I should say. And Jesus says to them in verse 1, let's get the context. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way?" Jesus is now leaving. Not arriving. Not coming, but leaving. And the disciples are sad and bewildered and brokenhearted at this news. And the atmosphere in the upper room is physically dark, but emotionally and spiritually, it is darker. That night, when Jesus gathered his disciples and spoke of his death and the things that were to come, he said, "I'm going. I'm leaving." This is a far cry for that first night when Jesus was born and the angels danced on the stars and declare glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all men. The men around the Lord's table that evening they loved Jesus. They'd given their lives and their livelihoods to follow the one who they believed was the Messiah. And now he's leaving. Now he's going. And it seemed that their dreams and aspirations and ambitions concerning the Lord himself and their own, that all hope was gone. Jesus is leaving. Now, Advent means arrival or coming. We're going to have an Advent service this afternoon, as Dr. Stevens mentioned, and I really want you to come. We will be webcasting it. It will be Prestonwood Live for those of you who can't get here around the country, world. You can join us. But if you can get here, this is a brand new tradition that we're starting, the Advent service. It's an old tradition we're making brand new. And we're going to share the Lord's Supper. We're going to do what these disciples had just done, gathering with the Lord at the Last Supper and now the Lord's Supper. We'll, at the Advent service, celebrate Jesus, who he is, and his arrival. So you may be wondering, if this is all about the arrival of Jesus, Jesus coming into the world, Pastor, why are you talking about his leaving? If it's about the beginning of the story, this Christmas, why are you taking us to the end of the story? The real meaning of Christmas and the real mission of Jesus is described here, who he is and why he came. I'll tell you why we're taking you here. These are dark and depressing days for so many people. The year of our Lord, the one who divided B.C. and A.D. in his coming and in his going. The year of our Lord 2020. I don't need to remind anyone that about the pandemic. If I ultimately never hear the word pandemic again, that will be a good day. The virus. And with this medical crisis, a mental health crisis, so much anxiety, so much despair, so much darkness, people are dying by degrees, some are taking their lives. There is loneliness and the feeling of being separated and isolated. I just read yesterday of a woman in Canada who is so brokenhearted by another wave of lockdowns in her area. She said, I would rather die and ask to be euthanized. She just can't take another lockdown. There's been losses of life and lockdown, losses of livelihood. And so many questions, aren't there, yet to come. All the uncertainty. When will this end? And when it ends, will life ever be the same? People are giving up in sadness and emptiness and isolation. It's been quite a journey so far, 10 months approximately, since this all hit. And we still don't know exactly when it ends and how it ends. It's the waiting and waiting and waiting for normal. People want to get their lives back. Is there a promise? Is there a hope? Is there a future? Silent Night speaks of the hopes and fears of all the years. And of all the years, how many hopes and fears do we feel across the country and around the world? The hopes and fears of all the years are lost in thee tonight. So here we are, Christmas 2020. In the middle of this dark night and these long days, Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Word literally means distressed or disturbed. Don't be distressed. Don't be disturbed. Don't be troubled. But keep believing in me. Keep trusting in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's the Father's house. And in the Father's house are many rooms. I used to think about heaven as being a place where there were mansions on hilltops here, there, and everywhere. But Jesus described it as the Father's house, and in his house, we're going to be near to him. We're going to be bunking up with Jesus. We've got rooms, and there are many rooms in the Father's house. I used to be sort of taken back by that. I like mansions better than rooms. But he said, you're going to love it. It's the Father's house, and I'm preparing a place for you. And then he said, then I'm coming again for you, that where I am, you will be also. And then he said, and you know the way. And he was drawing us out and drawing us in right here. Thomas, the disciple, said, no, Lord, we don't have an idea. We don't have a clue where you're going. And how can we know the way? And that's when Jesus made this startling claim. I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father or to the Father's house except through me. No one gets to God, the Father, except through Jesus, the Son. Jesus is claiming that he and he alone is the way to heaven, that he is the way maker, that he is the truth teller, that he is the life giver. So at this point, you have to stop and ask yourself, is this true? Is Jesus who he claimed to be? Many people are willing to see Jesus as a prophet, a teacher, a miracle worker, a religious leader and founder. Many people are willing to follow Christianity's basic principle they think is the golden rule. But Jesus didn't leave us that option alone. He said, I'm more than a miracle worker. I'm more than a promise maker. I am the way, the truth, and the life, the way maker. I've observed in the last decade or so that more and more people have become more and more aggressive in opposing this truth and opposing Jesus himself. John the disciple, who was in that upper room, spoke later of the spirit of the Antichrist that would sweep the world. And the spirit of the Antichrist is to deny that Jesus is God. Now, we know the big questions of life. We've talked about them in philosophy classes, and we've thought about them personally, deep within. Who am I and why am I here? And how am I supposed to live my life? And does my life even matter? With all these tears and fears, does my life have a purpose? And then the biggest question of all, is there a God? And if there is a God, who is God? And how can I know him? And through the centuries, philosophers with their ideas and teachers with their lectures and now bloggers with their opinions and books with their discussions and religious beliefs with their ideas and laws and structures attempt to give an answer to these questions. Who is God and who am I? Who is right? Who can you trust? Who can show us the way? What is the way to eternal life? Many, of course, say you can go your own way or make it up as you go. Believe your own truth. Live your own life. But Jesus said something totally different and demanding. Emphatically, he said it. I am way, truth, and life. There's no room for error here. These are the words that came out of the mouth of Jesus. He said it. So it brings us to that trilemma, the horns of a trilemma that has been repeated a number of years now. Who is Jesus? Is he Lord? Is he liar? Or is he a lunatic? Is he deity, God, or is he a deceiver or himself deceived? When it comes to who Jesus is and why he came and what we're to believe about him, he didn't leave us vague options. He said, choose me because I am the only way. Now, no one can deny that Jesus is the most important figure in human history, the most impactful personality that ever walked upon the earth. It's been estimated that since the beginning of creation until now, 30 billion people have lived and walked upon the earth. A handful of the 30 billion have made a significant impact on the world or perhaps on their own nation or country. A few have impacted history. But only one of the 30 billion people who have walked on this planet, only one has divided history and changed the world. Only one, Jesus, stands above all others. He has attracted more adoration than all others. One-third of the population of the planet on this day of the globe are followers or claim to be followers professing faith in Jesus Christ. H.G. Wells was a noted historian who listed the 10 top most important figures in human history. And at the top of the list, according to this historian, and many would agree, is Jesus Christ. But you know, when you think about it, Jesus cannot be compared to any other group of humans that have ever been on earth. He's not Jesus Christ the greatest. He is Jesus the one and only. There's no name given among men save the name of Jesus by which we must be saved. No other name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. So Jesus tells us who he is and why he came. He said, I am the way. I am the way. And the way brings you truth. And the way brings you life. The way to God shows you what to believe and how to live your life. It's the way of salvation. It's the way to heaven. It's the way of Jesus. Jesus spoke of this himself. Two roads. John chapter 7, he said, there is a road which is wide, and most people are on it, and it leads to destruction. But there is a narrow road, and fewer on it. But this road leads to eternal life. It is this road of redemption in Jesus Christ that leads to salvation. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. That's what Jesus is doing in the upper room. He's showing us not only why he came, but he's pointing us to the cross and the salvation that he gives. Jeremiah 21 verse 8 says, and to this people you shall say, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Jesus said, I am the way of life. I am the truth. He's not pointing us to the way. He is the way. He's not just speaking truth. He is the truth. He's not just showing us how to live. He is the life. And he's providing this pathway, this only way to salvation and forgiveness and eternal life. Jesus is not the best way to heaven. Jesus is not a way to heaven. Jesus is not an optional way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. Dr. W.A. Criswell, a hero of mine, pastor of many years at the First Baptist Church of Dallas, said this: the highway to heaven, the road to glory, the Jesus way, it's plain to see because it's crimson, it's red, it's stained, it has a color. That's why we say the color of Christmas is red. Not because of red caps or red bows or red lights or red Christmas trees or red anything else, red packages, but because of the crimson flow of Christ's royal red blood. The way and why Jesus came is the way of the cradle that leads to the cross. Mary's little lamb was born to be the sacrificial lamb, to die on the cross for our sins. And when I can remember when we were building this magnificent building, these facilities, and we were at an architectural planning meeting, and they were showing me the foyer of the church and the atrium, and they said, you know, there's going to be 66 window panes above the atrium. I said, wait a minute, did you say 66? They said, yes, sir, 66. I said, you know, there's 66 books in the Bible. And in all 66 books of the Bible, there is Jesus. And throughout the pages of God's Word is this scarlet thread, this red road of redemption that runs from beginning to end. You see Jesus in every book of the Bible because it's His story from beginning to end. It's all about Him. So when you stand in our atrium and you see those beautiful windows, now stained glass, you'll see a red ribbon running throughout, and you'll see artistically designed portraits of Christ in every book of the Bible. It's magnificent because it's the truth. And this is why Christ came, in order to leave, to prepare a place, the way for us. When you read your Bible, beginning in Genesis, when the ram was caught in the thicket, before that, when Adam and Eve slew an animal to cover their nakedness because of their shame and their sin, when you walk through with Moses and the burning bush and the great I Am, He is that I Am, book by book, prophecy by prophecy, one by one, all 66 to the Revelation, where it tells us that He is the Lamb who is worthy. It's all about the pathway. It's all about the way, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. The way is the road home. Many have lost their way in life and are far from home and far from God. Jesus told a beautiful story about this, a poignant story. Luke chapter 15, about a young man who left his father's house and wasted all that he had been given in prodigal living, making terrible choices. And he ends up in a pig pen. He lost it all. He lost everything. He's alone and he's afraid. He's been used and abused by Satan and sin. But there, he came to himself. There's truth that he believed. He came to himself. And here's what he said. He said, there are servants back at my father's house that are better off than me. They have more than enough. And here I am dying in this place. And that's when he said, I will arise and go back home. I will go to my father. And he planned to go back as a servant, not as a son. And on the long journey home, he finds his way on the pathway, the road home. He's broken. He's bent. He's bankrupt. But he found his way home to the Father's house. And there was life in the Father's house. The way home is to the Father's house. It's the way of truth. It's the way of life. And it's the way of love. Because at Christmas and all year through, every year, regardless of the year, what kind of year it's been, we celebrate Christ because his love prepared the way. His love found the way. Without him, there's no way. There's no way to be forgiven. There's no way to be changed. There's no way that a broken man can be put back together again. There's no way for an addicted person to be delivered. There's no way for any of us to achieve heaven. No way. Mary even said no way. When she was told she would bear the Christ into the world, she said, "How can this be? No way. I've never known a man." But God said, "Way. For with God, all things are possible." And the Waymaker came. And we were without hope. And according to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we were empty and lonely and without hope and without God. But it says in Ephesians chapter 2, 13, that we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We have been brought near. God came near so that we could be brought near. He came to earth to die on the cross so that we could go to heaven, to rise again so that we could have eternal life. God's love found a way when there was no way. Jesus is the way. This is why we celebrate Christ in Christmas. We are people of the way. The earliest Christians were called people of the way. We are the Jesus people. We are the way people, the Waymaker people. And our hearts are glowing and our spirits are soaring. Even in times like these, we are full of hope and we are full of faith and we are full of joy and full of hope and goodwill, God's grace. Because the Waymaker has made a way for us. Would you bow your heads with me, please, in prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed? Have you received Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior? Have you trusted him and him alone as your Lord and Savior? If not, today's the day of salvation. Remember, there's no other name. There's no other way. But he has provided a pathway. He has provided a way because the Waymaker, our Lord, is life and salvation to all who believe and trust in him. This road of redemption, this road of salvation, this road of the cross has opened up the door of heaven for you, and anyone can come in. Anyone can come to Jesus. Everyone can be saved by trusting in Jesus. Will you do that right now? Just pray, "Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my life to be my Savior, my Lord. I repent of my sin. I receive you into my life. I give you my life to follow you." I like the old little song at Christmas sings, "Come into my heart, come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." And in praying that, thank him for his salvation. It's God's gift to you. And in just a moment in this room, I'm going to invite you to come forward and openly profess your faith and declare that you want to be a follower of Jesus. That you will get on the way, his way, that you would be a person of the way. that you will follow Jesus. Will you do that today? And online. So many each week respond to Christ and the gospel. Text 74788 and type in J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. 74788, Jesus. Someone is standing by to encourage you and help you. We have materials, a Bible, and other things we're going to give you in order for you to get started on the way of following Jesus. Right here in the room, when we sing, will you come forward? Will you profess faith? Maybe you're standing by someone who needs to come. Volunteer to walk with them. There are others, you need a church home. You need a church family. You've been visiting with us. You've been connecting with us online. You can join an online community right now. And right here in the room, if you want to join Prestonwood, make your way forward today with these who are coming to Christ and set the pace. You're on the way. You're a follower of the Waymaker, Jesus. So why don't you come and unite with this church in our mission to take this message of hope to the world. We're praying that you will come. We're asking you to come and unite with us and ignite with us in the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit to spread the gospel. Will you do that? Lord, take these moments. Make them miracles in people's lives. May your Holy Spirit draw unto yourself those who are now believing and receiving you. Add to your church. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.